The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Described in some quarters as a golden visa scheme, the Immigrant Investor Programme allows wealthy investors from outside the EEA to effectively buy Irish residency. With mounting speculation that the programme could be refined or potentially scrapped, applications have surged. Now, to tell us more about all of this, I'm joined by the current affairs editor of the Irish Times, Arthur Beasley. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, we've talked about this in the programme before, but you might remind us how it is supposed to work, why it was set up, and has it done us any good?
The Immigrant Investor Programme was set up 10 years ago in 2012. It gives an opportunity for wealthy people outside the European Economic Area, that's the European Union, its countries, Norway, Iceland and Liechtenstein, if they have personal wealth of at least 2 million euro, they can make an investment for 1 million in an approved Irish company or investment fund. Alternatively, they can invest 2 million euro in a real estate investment trust. That's a REIT, that's a property kind of investment on the stock exchange. Or they can make a 500,000 euro endowment, be it for education, arts, sport, health, or culture. And the latest figures from the Department of Justice show that applications have surged this year from China.
Now, I'm looking at the way you can get your residency, and we'll talk about how long a residency you can get. But the 500,000 endowment, that's just money gone. It's given, it's used, and there's kind of no getting it back. Whereas anyone who invests in a REIT will probably get their money back in spades.
Well, indeed. Well, it depends on how it performs, but certainly in the Irish property market, prices going beyond the reach of many many ordinary buyers. But it's certainly true to say that it has been a good time for professional investors. Notwithstanding that, there are people who would say that the value on some of the Irish REITs on the stock exchange doesn't quite match the actual value of the property underpinning the funds, but essentially an investment is designed to produce a return, in other words, a profit for the investor, that when they take their money out after a certain amount of time, that they got not only their money, but also an additional accrued amount reflecting the performance of what went on.
Yeah. So they get their money, they get a return, they don't pay any tax on that return because they're outside the jurisdiction. They may pay it in China or wherever else they may be from, but they don't pay it to Pascal. So they do rather well.
Unless that they are residents of the Irish state living here for in excess of the period required to pay income tax.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
It depends on their advice.
So they can have residency here, but not be here long enough to pay the tax. As indeed many ordinary Irish citizens who are very wealthy don't spend enough time within the jurisdiction to pay tax.
But I think the reality is that this is an arena in which you have professional advisors, you have tax advisors available. There are avenues under which people who are resident in any country can minimise their tax liability.
Mm. Now, how long do you get your residency for?
Well, I mean, if you're putting money into this, you have to put the money in for 3 years. If your money is in here, well, then you can be resident here for 3 years. If the thing rolls over and another investment can be made, one imagines that you can stay longer in that case.
Mm. How much good has it done the Irish economy? Because it would seem to me that now in these burgeoning times, we're the only EU country that's projecting great growth for next year, any kind of growth. You'd imagine there'd be a queue of investors, that you don't need to flog them residency in order to get people to invest in the Irish economy.
Well, there's the tired old line about Ireland being the best performing economy in Europe for a good many years. That's based on GDP figures. Our GDP figures are distorted because of the influence of multinational companies. But it's certainly true to say that money invested in the Irish economy since the economic turnaround began at the end of the last crash that a lot of that money has done pretty well. There's no doubt about that.
Now, when you write today in the Irish Times about the surge in the numbers, how many have applied and why are they suddenly rushing to attempt to get this programme now?
Yeah, well, I mean, the figures really do show a massive increase in the number of people, particularly from China, applying to take part. In 2021, that's last year, throughout last year, over 12 months, there were 243 applications from China to participate. In the first 9 months of this year, there were 785. So that's more than a tripling in 9 months vis-a-vis the 12 months of last year. It's a very, very, very appreciable increase. The highest number of global applications in any previous year was only 435.
Yeah.
And in the first 9 months, the total number of applications was 812. So there's been a huge uplift in people applying. And a lot of that is attributed by people who know about these matters. It seems that word spread throughout amongst the advisors who help people to make applications and who broker applications for this scheme. It seems that because the scheme has been under review, under formal review by the government, that word spread that the government was going to, in fact, scrap the scheme, thereby shutting the door. And that, in the eyes of some people, explains the huge uplift in the number of applications since the start of the year.
What is the attitude of the EU to these kind of programs? Because, you know, they jealously guard the EU borders, the single market, the nature of what membership of an EU country bestows on you when you travel internationally. What's their view of these kind of programs?
Well, there have been reports in the European Parliament that are critical of these kind of investments. The argument in favour is that you have similar kinds of schemes in the United States, that it's a good way of bringing in money into schemes that would not otherwise get underway. The issue is, or one of the problems here, is that we don't know who the beneficiaries are. It's the practice of the Department of Justice not to say where the money goes. Therefore, it's very difficult to actually gauge the actual merits of the investment that's made.
Yeah, I mean, they're allowed to invest in social housing and nursing homes and things like that, as well as REITs. Who knows whether these are being particularly beneficial? Are they supplanting Irish investors who might make a few bob out of this? I don't know. But the reason for the Chinese particularly, I mean, there are billions of Chinese. So, you know, a few hundred wanting to come to Ireland is not a huge fraction of their population. But what's the reason? Are they afraid it's all going to go pear-shaped in China under an increasingly autocratic President Xi?
Well, I mean, the right of Irish residency or the right of residency anywhere outside of China, if people want to live outside of the country because of whatever government policy is underway in China, well, then clearly that gives people an avenue, that gives people the ability to live elsewhere. It also gives the people an ability to take their money away from the country. If you are a Chinese millionaire, if you have assets worth at least 2 million euro, well, then it is open to you under this particular scheme to put money into the Irish economy. The Irish scheme is not unique, that's clear, but it certainly provides an avenue for people to take their money out of China. Where it to be the case that the government in China decided that it wanted to take some of that money back. China is increasingly autocratic, there is no doubt about that. And we also... there are some suggestions from people who work in this area that there has been an increased interest from people in Hong Kong in taking part in this. There have been pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong, a crackdown on those protests by the authorities, and the danger that some people there would find it difficult to hold on to their money if they came under the scrutiny of the authorities because of whatever political stance they were taking.
Are the concerns in Europe about the increasing number of Chinese who are living in the EU and, you know, the commercial sensitivity of intellectual property rights and things like that? If you like, are they seeing the Chinese in this new era as kind of spies in the cab?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that following on from the lead taken by the United States, that there is concern around the ability of Chinese technology to record and open to scrutiny whatever data is filtering through Chinese technology on 5G mobile phone networks and such. America has taken the lead in that regard by banning companies such as Huawei. You now have efforts underway in Europe to follow suit. You have certainly a sense that just because technology can do one thing that is perceived to be good, that it doesn't mean it can't do something that is perceived to be bad at the same time.
Arthur Beasley, current affairs editor of the Irish Times, writing about that in today's paper. Arthur, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.